And out of that came this ministry, which basically is we began to realize that alternative medicine was very prevalent in our culture, was increasing, and was in the church. And so we had done some stuff to help our church figure out what to do about it. A friend of mine, and she's an administrator, and I am not. And at the end, she said, you know, we know more than all the people we've been trying to ask about this by that time. We've got the information. We should do something with it. So she was being an administrative-type personality. She went and got a 501c3 and organized us. So that's how we are organized. And I do the research and writing now. I'm directing. And this is kind of in honor of Charlie Schulz. And let me get that focus. I wonder if I can get it higher. How do I... There, is that better? This is Peppermint Patty. And in case you ever... Nobody in Peanuts ever got more than a D-. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Anyway, she starts out saying, we just got our test back. I hate to look. I hope I didn't get a D-. They say a D- can impair the function of your immune system and disrupt the chemical balance of your body. Sorry, body. And so I just thought that in view of the passing of Charlie Schulz, that it kind of illustrates the issues of mind-body medicine. And it's also interesting because Charlie Schulz died while his last strip was coming out in New York. He died at 9:15, 9:45 that Saturday night. And, of course, in New York it was 12:15 and the newspapers were there. So is there a mind-body connection? I think there's something called target dating. And I think there is a mind-body connection. But not quite the way the New Agers are saying. Let's get going on a little background. It doesn't like me. A little background on what we're going to do. I'm going to do good books, bad books as we go through this. And I've got a couple of videos, and I'm going to have to talk fast because there's always more to tell you than there is. As you know, alternative medicine has gained a very high profile in the media and in the mall. You know, you go through and you find little herb carts in the middle of your mall. They're mine. And the media is very positive for it. You very rarely see any kind of critical thinking. It's what we call the sonata thing. They have the A, the alternative practitioner, another paragraph, A, the alternative practitioner, and then they have a paragraph this big of someone who's approaching these issues from a scientific or an evidential basis. They get this much space, and then you go A, and you go back to how wonderful it is, and this is the telephone number and the address of the practitioner or the website or whatever. Even Consumers Report did that with their acupuncture thing. They had this great thing on acupuncture, and extolling the good things it was doing, had a little bit about what some of the problems were, and then told you how to get in touch with the American Acupuncture Society or whatever. It's kind of ironic. Anyway, it's very high profile, and Christians are part of this multi-billion dollar growth industry, and I became increasingly concerned in recent years with some of the more questionable aspects of alternative medicine being embraced and promoted in the Christian community, and of course that's how I got involved in this. I had no idea. If you told me 10 years ago I'd be standing here, I would have... Yeah, I would not have clicked at all. I wouldn't have had any reason to be here. And it's because I ran into it in our church that that the concern began to grow. And, of course, since then, it's just gone bigger and bigger and bigger. In 1997, Dr. David Eisenberg repeated a survey that he published in 1993 examining the use of alternative therapies by the American public. Not surprisingly, the results came back reporting that 4 in 10 Americans use alternative remedy therapies. This represents an increase from the one-third figure that was previously quoted, that's back in 1993, and it represents $27 billion in professional services, herbal products, supplements, diet products, books, and classes. I say not surprisingly because David Eisenberg, who's been a believer in and promoter of alternative practices for many years, he is the doctor, if you've seen the Bill Moyers film, on when Bill Moyers went to China, they played it on PBS. It's one of the Bill Moyers things. Eisenberg is his kind of guide through that China experience because Eisenberg actually did some studies in China. So Eisenberg is not coming at it from an objective or an unbiased viewpoint. But not only that, Eisenberg's hospital, Beth Israel in Boston, has benefited from the additional funding that Congress has put out. The office of what was... I just capitalized from the office which was previously known as, like Prince, the Office of the Alternative Medicine. They have changed their name 3 times since they got established. The budget for this keeps going up and up and up, and I can't remember, I was thinking it was $12 or $22 million. Someone told me it was $68 million yesterday. We were talking about numbers, and numbers kind of go. And they're dividing this up into programs, and some of the bigger hospitals are setting up divisions of complementary medicine, and Eisenberg's Hospital is one of the ones that's gotten some benefit from this. So it's a little bit, the politics of this are interesting in the Office of Alternative Medicine, because the people that are on the board and are part of that office are also the ones who are getting the grants, or their friend, they're connected. It's not, it's a small enough community that the money comes in and goes out, and kind of everybody knows who everybody is. So, I'm not even going to get into that. That I need to do with my representative sometime. To add a little bit of perspective to those studies that Eisenberg did, I don't know if you've ever read them or not. You should take a look at them, because the first thing that hit me when I looked at them was that this one-third number back in 1993. That one-third was almost entirely made up of relaxation, massage therapy, chiropractic, and these alternative therapies that he was asking people about also included things like commercial weight loss plans and self-help groups like AA. In that case, who has ever been involved or used alternative medicine? You know, I'm surprised it was only one-third at that rate, you know. So that was one of the problems with the study. The other one is there is an analysis of Eisenberg's study by a fellow named Timothy Gorski, who is an OBGYN in Arlington, Texas, and I think it's published in the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine, and I'm not sure the date. They only come out twice a year, I think the most recent one. And he went through and looked at it, and he's an OBGYN, and what he realized by evaluating and analyzing the questions that were asked was they excluded, when they asked their questions to these people they call up, they excluded all OBGYN concerns, which knocks out a significant number of the people who are answering the study. So there's some real question about this study. Yeah, a lot of people use it. I mean, I would have to say, have you ever used anything? I'd say, yeah, I bought my husband St. John's wort to fix him once, and that didn't work. And do I use vitamin C sometimes, you know, that's not just kind of a regular thing? Yes, I do. So, you know, it's like, does that mean I'm a user of alternative medicine? I don't think it quite fits that way. But as we look at this industry and the gobs of money that are out there, it isn't quite what it's being promoted as, in case you haven't figured out. If you have seen Andrew Weil's video that was used for fundraising on NPR, at the end of the one on spontaneous healing, he is coaching his audience, who is very enthusiastic and loves him very, very much, to go out and demand what they want. I.e., he's talking about the whole medical system has to change. This is a change that has to come, and it's going to come, and it's inevitable. And then he does this cheerleading, rousing thing where he says, and you are the ones who are going to go do it. It's a very interesting thing. So there's a lot more going on in the alternative medicine shift. When you think that Weil and a guy named James Gordon and leaders of and Larry Dossey, all these guys came out of the 60s. Do you know what I mean? And this is... I can say that because I came out of the 60s, okay? I was there, been there, done that. Flowers, you know, bell bottoms. I told my kids they will come back. They did. I was there, and you have to understand, these are the people, and they are changing. They are changing politics, they are changing medicine, they are changing, a little hard on science, you know, but they're working on it from the medical side. So it's not all, oh, look, all of a sudden we have this enlightenment, and it's alternative medicine is wonderful. They are doing it on kind of an experiential basis. It's not on an evidence basis. It's like the experience is the cart before the horse thing that's going on right now. I'm not a complete cynic, by the way. You know, but anyway, the reality is health is an interest in America. It always has been, and it's been an interest in the church, and it's not new. And this is kind of something fun. Did you have some cereal for breakfast this morning? Anybody have cereal? Was it Post or Kellogg's? Okay. Those guys would choke on the cereal that we are eating right now because it's devolved from what they had in Battle Creek, Michigan, when the Seventh-day Adventists had the Battle Creek Sanitarium there, and that's Will and John Harvey Kellogg. Kellogg was a surgeon who was convinced that the problem with everybody was toxemia, and their bowels were full of all this toxic stuff, and he had to clean it out. That's 100 years ago. And if you go to any of these alternative practitioners now, they'll tell you that you are full of toxins and they have to clean your bowel out. So in that way, we haven't made much progress from the Kellogg's. C.W. Post was also part of that thing. He kind of was one of those things. He was friends of theirs, and then he broke off and set up his own cereal. Do you like graham crackers? Sylvester was his name. He was a Presbyterian minister, convinced that what you ate was part of your salvation. And he had whole wheat crackers, is what graham crackers were. He also would choke at what we're eating as graham crackers, because his didn't have cinnamon or honey or whatever it was. And his thing was you had to keep your body clean and regular along with your vegetarian diet and chewing your food a designated and very large number of times, which was actually originated with a guy named Fletcher. All these guys in the 19th century were connected somehow with churches or with religious stuff. So this religious stuff in health has been going on probably since outside the Garden of Eden. In 1938, Jethro Klaus published a book, which is now called Back to Eden. It wasn't called Back to Eden then. It's an herbal kind of natural remedy book. And he said, I continued the search for many years to find simple methods for treating the sick. I studied the Bible on cooking, baking, and learned also the remedies that were used in Bible times. I found that the healing art, which God gave to man to maintain and restore health, was to be practiced by ministers and gospel workers. And God never changed that plan. So go home and tell your pastor that he's got to do that. So you see how health and ministry and religion has been like this all the way along. I don't recommend his book. My parents came in 15 years ago, before I even got in this, carrying that book one time, because they would see this natural healer out in Arizona when they went there. They'd come in and say, oh, we got this great book. It's called Back to Eden. And I remember looking at my dad and saying, no way. You know, I mean, think about it. Should we go back to Eden? No. Can we go back to Eden? No. Are we going to go back to Eden? No. So here we have a book called Back to Eden, and it's not what it is. Pure water, sunshine, fresh air, natural and processed foods, herbs, cleanliness of self and premises, properly prepared food, exercise, all this stuff is part of the picture. And what people who are coming at it from a spiritual Christianized view, when they get into health stuff like this, we're not talking about Christian Medical Dental Society here, we're talking about the alternative natural practitioners that come out of the water cure movement and all that stuff from Europe that came into the States, and we had herbal medicine here. It's just been a long tradition that has tied it together like this. One of the verses they use is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, out of Hosea. And that's sort of the beginning of the downhill curve when they start using food. Things like animals eat their food as God prepared it for them, so and man should eat the food as God intended it. And if you did, your body would be symmetrical and beautiful and healthy. Now that means raw food. And you're going, oh, this can't be true. But as we see, I have a guy who's very successful at what he does in promoting these things, and he says we ought to eat all raw food. And he's a Baptist minister. There are reasons why people get involved or are drawn to alternative medicine. It seems simpler. It seems more the way it ought to be. You know, the sunshine, the water, the rest. But also we have people questioning authority, although that seems like they did it 100 years ago too. Maybe they've had negative experiences with physicians or hospitals. I have. Significantly negative ones. And somehow it turns them. You know, instead of understanding that people are not perfect, it's kind of a reaction. There's a reactionary thing. They may have a chronic disease which troubles them, or a life-threatening disease for which there is no cure. There's a fear. We have a very fear-based thing of poisoning, cutting, burning. That's a scenario that's often painted about scientifically based medicine, poison cuts and burns. For the unlucky or disobedient who get sick, because a lot of this ties in with, if you eat right, you will not be sick. If you take care of your body the way God intended it, you won't be sick. And, you know, if you don't smoke, your chances of getting lung cancer are very small. That's true. You know, if you are not a glutton, your chances of having some of the complications of obesity are diminished. So there's some truth to this. And that's, you know, the best lie is the one which most closely approximates the truth that somebody came up with. So we're going to take a look at some of these people who are crediting God as the source of their varied and sometimes contradictory health care choices. What I'm going to do today, I'm going to focus on not just practices that are kind of out there in alternative medicine. I'm going to look at three or four specifically Christian groups or practitioners that you may run into. Give you some background. I don't discard everything that's alternative. I've eaten brown rice for 30 years. You know, I did come out of a family that was kind of odd like that. but if I don't eat brown rice, it's not the end of the world. God's not going to punish me. And, you know, I think we have a lot of freedom and a lot of latitude. One of my concerns is that we do not love the truth. We say we do. But if we really love the truth, we need to be looking. Kind of not like in a paranoid way, but we need to be processing stuff on the basis of, is this true, is this not true? And yet we don't do that. I find that there are a lot of people who are biblically, what I call biblically illiterate or misuse scripture. I've got a couple letters. I get a few people that write and say they really like what I do, but most people don't like what I do. And then they use scripture to prove it. So I'll maybe get a chance to read a couple of those. But taking care of our health consumes. When you get into this, and what I've seen is that when people get into these particular groups or ways of thinking about health, either in treatments that they use or in the actual nutrition, I call it nutritionity. You know, they have this nutrition stuff, and they take Christianity and put it together, and they call it nutritionity. It consumes a huge part of our lives, and there's an idolatrous characteristic to it. The church I was in that had this practitioner that was teaching to eat healthy. I don't have a problem with decreasing saturated fats and eating more vegetables and fruit, and you know, and we're just discussing this whole carbohydrate protein thing that's going on out there. You know, you got the people on this side and this on this side. And I think, how about someplace in here? Yeah. I mean, I don't think God is always the God of the excluded middle, but you know, we're always going back and forth like this. But it consumes a lot of time. It can become idolatrous. It distracts us from the gospel, and it damages fellowship. What we had in our church was interesting. We had the group that went to this iridologist herbal person, and they were going to her little classes, and they were learning how to use whole wheat flour and cook with canola oil and do all this stuff and eat. We'd have a church meal. You know, Christians eat. Evangelicals eat. We get together and have these things. And you lay out this food, you could tell who was who. You know, you walk down, and at one time someone walks down and says, well, I can't eat that, and I'm not that, and that's junk, and that's, you know, this is the body of Christ. This is very divisive when it gets into this. And that's what I say. I have some real problems. God, I am sure, did not design, quote, diet plans that would divide the body. If you look at the New Testament, food is really not a big deal. And when it is talked about, it's because it's divisive. You know, the ones that bring their food, the ones that don't bring their food. You know, should you eat those stuff offered to idols, not to idols? But food generally, it's like in 1 Timothy 4, it says, pray over it, you know, bless it, and eat it because God gave it to you. it doesn't mean you can't use common sense. It doesn't mean you make good decisions. It doesn't mean you explore what your needs are. You know, we do have, some of us are diabetic, some of us are not. Some of us may have intestinal things, some of us don't. But so that's, I'm not saying all it doesn't count. But when it becomes the primary focus of our lives, we have a problem. And what happens is, I hate to use a slippery slope as a picture, but it's a slippery slope. People will use scripture to justify what they're doing or to kind of give it more power, because maybe they aren't happy with just saying, this is what I want to do. They have to have a reason to do it. So if you put God on it, it gives you something that makes you feel good. But then they get into other practices, and that's where we start getting some of the concepts about the food are even kind of occult, because it's the idea of you have to eat living food. Has anybody heard that one? That the food that you buy, like if it's cooked, it's not living anymore. You have to eat it raw, or you have to eat it as fresh as you can, because if it's not living, it doesn't have this vital force in it. And that goes back to vitalism, where there's something mystical, magical in this food. Now, sometimes they'll describe it as, oh, the enzymes are this, that, and the other thing. But there's almost a metaphysical characteristic to this living food thing. And occult ideas become embraced, because then as you go into the natural aspect, then you start going into using practices like muscle testing, iridology, homeopathy, and all those other less invasive or more natural diagnostic and treatment modalities. And those things often, not all the time, but often are steeped in and come out of a worldview which is not based on creator and creation. It's based on energy and whatever, how you create your universe, or if you're a Christian, you can kind of depersonalize the Holy Spirit and turn it into some kind of energy field. So that's where we get into trouble with occult ideas there. And the worldview is being contaminated. And we were just talking before we came over, a couple of us, about churches who have alternative practitioners in them, and there is a serious problem with the practice. You know, this isn't just like I go to my chiropractor. You know, it's not that kind of thing. They are promoting a practice. When you try to address the issues of the practice, either the metaphysics of it or even science, either way, you know, Christians aren't real cool on addressing the science part of it, but you know, you try to look at some of the stuff there, a person will leave a Christian fellowship rather than give up a practice. And this is the power. I mean, this is not just kind of like I drive a Chevy, you drive a Ford. Of course, in the South where I come from, that could get you shot. But, you know, we have this real thing between Chevy and Ford people out there. But, I mean, this is a serious thing. People will leave a church fellowship if someone addresses the fact that the practice that they're doing, whether it's an energy healing or whatever, is in conflict with the Christian worldview. And what's happening is misinformation is being promulgated. Some people are being defrauded. There is fraud in this. And somehow we have this thing, if the person who's doing it is really sincere, then the person who's partaking in it isn't really harmed by this. I disagree with that. If someone's being told a diagnosis using iridology and they are paying money for it, they're being defrauded on more than one level. They're being defrauded financially, but they're also being defrauded because they're being given information which is in fact not true and is based on a faulty system. It's a truth issue. We don't want to deal with whether this is a truth issue or not. Ethical standards are being ignored. Expediency and an agenda or an ideology supersedes good standards, good judgment and healthy standards. A lot of what I see in alternative medicine involves phony degrees. There's a cool website, which I probably can't remember. There's a cool website that has Christian degree mills listed. If you want to have a real trip, you should go to this. It's Levikoff. It's https://www.levikoff.com. It's just that. It's Levikoff, L-E-V-I-C-O-F-F. You might find it by searching for that. And then it goes into, I think it goes into a slash and then tripod. It's on the wherever the tripod is a member site where you can put things on. If you go to the tripod.com site, you can probably do a search in there and find it. Illegal activities are overlooked, and questionable standard credentials are overlooked. Physicians with revoked licenses and who have been professionally disciplined are authorities in these systems often. And there are lots of conspiracy theories between the FDA, the AMA, science versus Christians, etc. And I think the body of Christ is being harmed. There are discernment issues. And how far do I go? To 2:30? 1:15? 2:15? Okay, I'm going to hustle. You can write the verses down and look them up. We have discernment verses. I'll read a couple. Paul writes the Philippians and prays that their love will abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, says that discernment is something that's learned. He goes on, Hebrews 5, 11 to 14, they're talking about, for whoever partakes of only milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The last verse is, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, the idea is there that there is a gift of discernment. There's the idea that by practice you learn to discern good and evil. You go out there, and we have a God who lets us make mistakes. You know, if you make a mistake, you repent. It's not the end of the world. So remember, it's something that can be learned. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22 says, test all things. Now, you have to look at the context, but test all things means test all things. We should test everything. And it doesn't mean you ask someone, oh, did you have a good experience with this? Oh, yes, I did. And I had a good experience with it, so this is okay. That's not what Paul means when he says test all those things. Use Scripture, don't misuse it. The other thing is we can be deceived. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, and the thing about deception is if you're being deceived, you don't know it, because otherwise it wouldn't be deception, right? We can be deceived. Paul warns us not to be deceived. I mean, this is a problem. And we're talking about sometimes we get practitioners who are Christian. They're very involved in their church. They pray. And I had a friend of mine who wanted to be like somebody in the church who prayed, if you went to the sermon this morning, prayed a couple hours a day and actually mentioned it to somebody. And my friend was going, oh, I want to be like her. And I said, no, you don't want to be like her. But what happens is if you know someone is an active professing Christian and they're involved in this stuff, somehow we do this kind of secondhand thing. If there was something wrong with it, surely if they're spiritual and they are praying, God would tell them, and they wouldn't be doing it. Do you get that? So if they're doing it and they are living a professing Christian, obedient, what appears to be obedient life, and praying and all this other stuff and doing good works and teaching in Sunday school and singing in the choir and gives the right answers in Sunday school, that if they're doing it, there can't be something wrong with it. You get the kind of, we kind of do that. I mean, I know what happened at our church. The pastor got involved, and we thought, well, there couldn't be anything matter with this because he wouldn't do anything that was wrong, right? Wrong. He tells us to let no one deceive you. And then in 2 Timothy, that's Ephesians 5:6. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And of course, that brings up the other thing is that we can be deceived, but we can also deceive others. We can be defrauded, but we can defraud others. Given the right set of circumstances in our lives, we can do just about anything. We could be these people. See to it that no one take you captive. This is Colossians 2:8. Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. Now, what I get hit with is science is the tradition of men. Anything not in the Bible is the world. And so, therefore, then I wind up, you wind up in this defensive posture where, you've already been labeled as the bad guy. So, but you have to think about that. And keep in mind also that Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick, and that's why we need Christ. Because if we're left to our own stuff, we will follow things that meet our own needs, and we will find resources to meet our own needs that are apart from God. So, what are my concerns? Uncritical embracing of alternative therapies, spiritualizing things with the Bible to justify, failing to apply basic principles of discernment and stewardship, and then demonizing the other guy. I mean, it's an us-them mentality. It's like there's some people in the middle, but when you're passionate about the alternative practices, it's the guys on the other side are bad. Some of the things from the Center for Bioethics and Human Dignity has a list. There's a little book, which I don't think the little book came over. It's a good book. It's over my table. Do a reality check. We are richer and healthier than we've ever been. That's the reality. What we get told in alternative medicine is we are so sick. Everybody's getting sicker, and more people are dying of cancer. And and the fact is, in 1900, the life expectancy in the United States of America was less than 50 years. It's now 2000. The life expectancy as of 97 or 98. And this is black, white, men, women, the whole thing. So it's actually lower than it would be for most of us who are white women in here if they were born now. It is now over 76 years. So I want you to remember that we are dying more and sicker than we've ever been, even though we have a longer life expectancy. And we didn't have great-grandparents who went and played golf when they were 70. I come from good genes. I've got people that live in their 80s, so I'm not really worried. But you know what? We're also baby boomers, a lot of us, and basically we've had it. Look at the stock market. We're healthy. We're wealthy. We're the top of the world, and we want everything, and we don't want to get old. What it says in Romans is all creation is groaning for redemption, and that includes my body, because this body is not redeemed yet. I'm redeemed, but this is wearing out. I can attest to that. It is wearing out. And I take pretty good care of myself, but the fact is all those little taurines inside my cells are kind of, they're going downhill because they've got that timing in them that God put in them that says there's only so many years left in this body before you get a new one. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with searching for relief from illness or improved health, but we do live in a fallen world, and that is the other thing that I do not see in the systems that I look at. They don't seem to have a good grasp on the fall. They keep heading for perfection. There's this perfectionistic drive behind it. Optimal health, it's not good enough not to be sick anymore. The World Health Organization, you just can't not be sick to be healthy. You have to have optimal health. I would like someone to tell me what optimal health is. I'm not going to get it. I got spider veins, I froze my shoulder last year. I'm still trying to work that out. Fell and probably either have tendonitis or torn rotator cuff. This is not optimal health. I am never going to get optimal health, and that's reality. Now, maybe you are, but if you do, you're going to consume a tremendous amount of your everyday life running, eating only certain things. It's a very self-centered kind of concept, optimal health. So that's you. Keep in mind, are your goals realistic for healing and for health? And are the claims of the therapies and products that are out there realistic? And then, of course, we have stewardship. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars Christians are spending on things which either do not work or are just minimally effective. A friend of mine, this whole herbal thing that was in our church, I had a friend who did have serious vein problems. She almost died of it. And this gal was going to fix her, and at 10 years ago, it was only going to cost her $60 a month. Now, there are three people in her family. That's just for this herbal thing. This is nothing else, just the herbal stuff. And so, you know, we're talking $200 a month, not even counting inflation, if all her family went on these programs, and now it's far more than that. And wise stewardship is taking care of your body, but then you have to balance. When, how much do you do? Where do you draw that line? And everybody makes a different, draws a different line there, but you have to keep that in mind. Is that one of your goals? Is what's the best stewardship of my resources and of the facilities and what's out there? I mean, there may be some medical treatments that are way exorbitant that won't really do anything for you. Harm. Sometimes if ineffectiveness is not the only issue, some therapies can be harmful. Natural does not equal safe. And here's my other favorite guy, Wizard of Id. One of my other favorite. What's in this? Bat's ears, lizard tails, dried worms? How do I know it's safe to drink? Well, they're all natural ingredients, of course. Right? And we know that Socrates knows better than that. And there are actually some things out there. You know, it took years for the herbal industry to get around to changing some of the stuff on their packaging, which on comfrey, because comfrey is hepatotoxic. That means it can poison your liver. And people were drinking comfrey tea, and they were getting altered liver enzymes. And, you know, some people did have serious, almost life-threatening results of the comfrey tea thing. And finally they get around to printing, oh, yeah, don't drink it, only use this part of it. But it took years. I had already known about the research, and I'm not on the cutting edge of anything. And I noticed our local Nature Sunshine group was still, this was ten years ago, was still selling the old version of it. Now they've rewritten it a little bit. So sometimes it's physically, can be physically harmful. It's not always safe. Just recently, my daughter, I have a daughter in medical school. I thought if you can't, you know, if doctors really bother you, have a family member become one, and then you can change the medical profession from the inside. So I sent her to medical school. No, she didn't this herself. But she just mailed me something, and there was a teleconference on the dangerous interactions of St. John's wort and some of the prescription drugs that they were doing. Diminishes the effectiveness, and it's, I think it was some of the HIV stuff, and of course, as Christians, we can say, oh, well, that they deserve that. But that's not the way this works. We have to understand that there are interactions, and we can't say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. There are interactions. Hospitals and physicians are being warned to ascertain herbal and supplement usage before surgeries because it can interfere with stuff in surgery. You can have coagulation problems. You can have some other interactions with some of the other drugs. There can be allergic reactions. And on spiritual levels, meditative practices have created problems for some people. Therapeutic touch practitioners make the claim that they can produce energy overload in some people. Now, I don't know if this ever happened, but the fact that they claim that when it's a natural and safe procedure is kind of an interesting sort of a thing that they're doing. Oh, this is safe. Oh, but we could, you know, it could be dangerous. But do they get the client, the patient to sign an informed consent? Do they tell them you could go into energy overload? Now, I don't know whether they could or not. I don't think so, but anyway. We have a naturopathic physician in North Carolina who told the mom to take the child off insulin, and so the 8-year-old girl died. He will be tried in May. That happens. Spiritual issues. Most serious potential harm is spiritual. Energy therapies, alteration of worldview, division in the church, allowing an acceptance of occult metaphysical concepts. Superstition takes the place of developing a mature trust relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a lot of superstitious kind of stuff out here. I'll get to some of the stuff we can look at. There's some cultic aspects to it. It's kind of aberrational, becomes an aberrational thing. Sometimes you get a whole church that gets into one of these diets. The Hallelujah Diet is one of the ones. My parents have some friends whose whole church is into this diet. And I will say, if you're going to make a fool out of yourself with what you do, and this is for me too, don't connect it with Scripture. You know? To make yourself feel better, justify your lapse in thinking skills or judgment or something, be real careful how we use Scripture. So if you're, you know, if I've convicted anybody, take a few deep breaths and then repent. Seriously, you can do that. We have to be careful because what we end up doing as Christians is we can demean the name of Jesus Christ very easily. One of the other speakers and myself had dinner last night with a couple that live out here, and they're skeptics, and they've been very active in debunking therapeutic touch and some of those things. And you know, their view of Christians, I've never talked about what their view of Christians is, but I kind of got, because of the lists I hang out on, I kind of know. And Christians are basically seen as poorly educated, ignorant, gullible, superstitious people who don't have too many brains. And if they did, they don't use them very well. And so it's interesting because we really enjoy this couple. And they're very sharp. And when they run into Christians who do this nonsense, it just reinforces the idea that people who believe in Jesus Christ, you know, are really not, there's nothing there. There's nothing to Christ because look at the people. What they need to do is they need to look at us and see that we are people who love like nobody they know. Doesn't mean our lives are perfect. Doesn't mean we're all cleaned up. But that being with Jesus makes a difference, and it means I can go out to eat dinner with them and say, oh, I can't eat this, and I can't eat that, and I can't eat this. You see what I mean? We're supposed to engage the world, not build these walls and say, here, we're going to get real special and spiritual. Okay, Hallelujah Acres is one of my first ones. Hallelujah Acres is this guy, Why Christians Get Sick. After the Bible, this is the most important book a Christian will ever read, must reading for every Christian. This is a guy who was a Baptist minister and in 1976 was diagnosed with colon cancer. His mom had just died of colon cancer and he felt very strongly negatively about the way her life had gone and what happened to her. He came down diagnosed with colon cancer in his 40s, did not have surgery. Now, you have to understand, all these things are usually according to the person who's telling the story. I have no independent verification of his story. My sense is it probably is true to some point. He healed himself by immediately going to the Bible. He read this verse, and this is what made the difference for him. And here he is, 20-plus years later, making his living, telling people about the gospel that he has discovered. Then God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. King James Version says, Behold, I will have given you every herb. Okay, this is where the Christian herbal salespeople use that verse all the time. They've never gone back into the Hebrew to find out that herb is not a special category of magical things that are sold in bottles, the word in Hebrew, or the several words in Hebrew, but the one in here. It's plants, green plants. Okay? But he went to this, found this verse, and decided that he was going to eat the way God designed it in the Garden of Eden. The result is his cancer was healed, and he went on a mission. This book is the answer to God's pantheistic, holistic health. Well, you know, I'll give you a flash of the yellow pages, let you know there are a few problems. and he gives all these stories about how his mom, he's very traumatized by his mom's death. But he was in Tennessee and recently moved to North Carolina. He holds seminars in churches. He has physicians and pastors and lots of people that do this. And his principle is we must go back to the Garden of Eden and eat the way God did it because he didn't change it, and that means you eat raw vegetables. Okay? Now, eventually, over the years, he added some cooked things. So he eats 15% of his diet is cooked, which allows him to eat potatoes and lentils. I wasn't sure how he was going to get protein on a raw diet. You know, lentils are a little crunchy. So there's some practical problems. I can kind of be funny about this. There's some practical problems with this. One of my major problems is his theology stinks on this issue. His thing is, we're supposed to eat the way God designed. You go, well, gee, what about the dietary laws that tell the Jews that they can eat this and this and this and this, and they can eat meat? And Jesus, we know at least that he ate fish and lamb. We got that one down. And then Paul talks about this, and Peter has the vision, and all that. What about this? And the answer, I went down there a couple weeks ago. I didn't talk to him. I talked to another guy. We were working in the bookstore, and the answer was, well, and he says in the book, well, I don't know the answers to that. I just know that we need to eat the way God set it up. And we know it has to be raw. Okay? Because it never says until after the flood, it never says they cooked anything in the Bible. Argument from silence. It doesn't say they cooked stuff, so therefore we know that they had to eat raw food all those years. And besides, and I'm not making this one up, they didn't have fire because they couldn't cook it. They didn't have fire. And this is, you know, I really, sometimes I read stuff and I'm kind of thinking, do-do-do-do. But it initially challenged me. I thought, well, why do I assume they did have fire? You know, so I'm thinking, well, did they have fire or didn't they have fire? You know, so then I do my little search. I'm sitting in church a couple weeks ago, still cogitating on the fire problem. You know, well, did they have fire? Didn't they have fire? And you go and you read and you discover they did have fire. Because in the genealogy that follows Cain's family, one of his great-grandsons is clearly described as being an artificer, a fabricator, a forger of bronze and iron. And unless he had some technique that we have yet to discover, they needed fire. So, but I'm serious. His point, and he tells his people, this is why you cannot cook your food, is they didn't cook it for all those years to Noah, and then we know it all went downhill after Noah. They only lived 120 years after that. So this is the way God wants us to eat. Now, you're looking puzzled. This guy has thousands of people that come to his seminars. It's called the Hallelujah Diet. His name is George Malkmus, M-A-L-K-M-U-S. They have a 23,000-square-foot brand-new building in Shelby, North Carolina. And they have seminars every week there, and he travels several days every week all over the country. And I mean, it's misinformation, it's misuse of Scripture. In Genesis 3 even says, you don't have to work for your bread. So obviously, bread is cooked, but there's a whole lot of little things like that. This guy's a minister. He was a minister. He says things like, cancer is killing men, women, and children in an ever-increasing rate, but in fact, the data is that the cancer rate for children has gone down, the cancer rate for a lot of the major groups has gone down. Some of them are going up, but overall, the number of people that are alive after 5 years of a diagnosis of cancer now is much higher than it was 30 years ago. It's much higher than it was 5 years ago. I mean, it's ongoing up. So there's medical misinformation, there's nutritional misinformation, there is misuse of Scripture, and then, of course, he's another one of these people who has a degree from, an honorary degree from one of the degree mills that is unaccredited, and so now he can call himself Dr. Malkmus. I have a problem ethically with some of this stuff. I have a problem nutritionally. He makes a claim in this book, he doesn't suffer from any nutritional deficiencies. No B12, no calcium, no protein deficiencies. And I have to give them credit. Here's some of his stuff. Man, from Adam to Noah, were vegetarians and fruitarians. That's some of his, one of his books. Food was not processed, packaged, canned, frozen, or irradiated in the Old Testament or early times, so we shouldn't do that. And I think you should probably ride by donkey, and, you know, there's a couple other things. Meat was not consumed. deficiencies. I went on the website a little while ago, and they actually, for reasons which I'm still fascinated by, there's a guy, a young guy, who has just got his PhD in engineering from Cornell in chemical engineering, and somehow he and his wife and his little kid got intrigued with this diet, and he really thinks that this diet is really the real thing. So he is now doing some research for the Hallelujah Acres people. And he actually went and checked for vitamin B12 deficiency. And what they found was people following a pure vegetarian, that's a vegan diet, are high risk, more than 50% for metabolic vitamin B12 deficiency. And he checked a whole bunch of people at Hallelujah Acres. This is on their website. I really have to give them credit for this. And they found metabolic vitamin B12 deficiency in people using the Hallelujah diet for as little as 22 months. And so, because B12 was found in liver, muscle, flesh, eggs, dairy products, because they don't need dairy products either. And so their solution, and there is humor to this, but I try to keep it in perspective. Their solution in following God's natural diet from the Garden of Eden to take care of the vitamin B12 deficiency is to use sublingual methylcobalamin, which doesn't sound like that was in the Garden of Eden, to tell you the truth. But I guess that's their compensation for the fall there. And so the thing is, I forgot this guy's video. I have a video, and it's probably on my living room floor right now. And in this video, you can see that, but there's definitely a gray, gaunt look. So that's Hallelujah Acres. The other interesting thing is, besides misusing Scripture and having phony degree and having faulty information, I got to give you one other misuse of Scripture. Revelation 18:23, the Bible states, "For by thy sorceries," and he puts in parentheses, "drugs, were all nations deceived." Sorceries, the word is pharmakeo. It's a Greek word that comes from, that we use for pharmacy, okay? And it's translated sorceries because, of course, sorcerers use drugs and everything. "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." So that means drugs. The biblical word for sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmakeia, which is today translated into drugs. Therefore, thus, the Bible condemns the use of all drugs. That kind of logic, and he's got thousands of people who are following that kind of logic. That drives me crazy. But it goes from there, and it goes into if they do need medical treatment, they are going to be using alternative practices. And he's promoting anti-immunization now on his website. For those of you who are interested in children, that is not a good idea. Okay, that's one. Hallelujah Acres. Next one, you're going to love this one, it's Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma and had surgery. You all know that? Did you know that or not? Okay, it's a number of years ago. I forget the date on this. This is his book. And actually, 1996, I guess. He wrote the book very quickly after his surgery. He'd had an ongoing shoulder pain in his golf game, was bothering, or tennis or something. If one had looked at, and they went in and looked at the shoulder and discovered metastatic cancer, and they went, whoa. So they went in and did a scan, and he had renal cell carcinoma. The treatment was they removed one kidney, and they actually removed his scapula. And if you see some of the pictures, you know, I mean, you don't see it. You'd see it if you were seeing him straight on, but the pictures of him show him kind of turned to the side. Not long after he had the surgery, he wrote this book called Damaged But Not Broken. It's now reissued under another name. I'm trying to think what the name. It's something very similar. The cover symbol is saying hope. It's something about hope is part of the title. It's the same layout on the cover. Okay, so that's Larry's story, and you don't realize what his impact could be. He had that treatment, and chemo and radiation are not used for renal cell carcinoma. So he had the surgery, and he sought an alternative treatment. He got educated on the internet with all the alternative treatments and went and did an alternative treatment in Czechoslovakia. I tried to track it down. I actually had it tracked down through one of the universities in Czechoslovakia a few years ago, consequently lost the email. And then someone told me the person who was doing the work had come here to the States, so I don't know the name of what this was, okay? But he would go over there for treatments. He has become a crusader. He is kind of an anti-FDA, pro-alt medicine crusader. And he says in the book, if he had to do it over again, he would have delayed surgery. And I can tell you, if he delayed surgery, if it already metastasized to his shoulder, we wouldn't have Larry Burkett with us anymore. And I kind of enjoy his show in the afternoons. Anyway, and we do have a friend, or not a friend, an acquaintance in the Asheville area who's real popular. He does a basketball kind of tournament sort of thing. And he's a young guy, and he came down with a kind of odd form of cancer. I think it was one of the colon cancers. Knew Larry Burkett, and Larry Burkett suggested to him, I will not tell him he told him, but suggested very strongly that he not use conventional therapy. And I think that's where we're overstepping. Okay, because I'd heard this, and I went to Randy and said, this is what I've heard, you know, and of course he likes Larry Burkett and respects him, and said, but he did take conventional therapy, and this guy's in his probably early 30s, now and he's fine. And I have a friend who's an oncologist, and in her practice, some lady refused treatment because of his book. So we have tremendous impact. You write a book, and you have tremendous impact, and we need to be careful about what we do. But some of my problems, that's part of the story. He goes in here, and he talks about some of his medical advisors, where he gets his advice from. You know, and he has a couple doctors he quotes in here. One of his doctor friends that gives him advice on cancer therapy treatment. I have several friends who are doctors for their direct input into this chapter on physicians on alternative treatments. Lee Cowden, MD of Dallas, Texas, presently on sabbatical to teach and research. Dr. Dan Clark of Orlando, Florida, and Dr. Martin in Lancaster, Kentucky. I did a little bit of homework. Daniel Clark is one of Burkett's advisors in this book. Daniel Clark had his license to practice medicine revoked in the state of Florida in 1983 for making deceptive, untrue, and fraudulent representations in the practice of medicine by treating a patient with an herb tea and salve for breast cancer, telling her that these things were breaking down her tumor and drawing it out of her body. There were numerous case numbers on his file, charges against him. So he had his license pulled. This guy doesn't have a license. They didn't say, you know, go to school and we'll give it back to you. It was gone. An additional charge was filed in 1985 for practicing medicine while he had a revoked license. He was found guilty by a jury of a third-degree felony, and he filed an appeal. And when I've talked to Florida and I got the records, there was a problem with something happened in 1987. My sense is that the appeal did not go through. Either way, even if he did win that one, he still is an unlicensed person who lost his license for the way he practiced medicine. Lee Cowden of Texas is another one of Mr. Burkett's authority. You know, I do like Larry. Dr. Cowden was disciplined with a public reprimand by the Texas State Board of Medical Examiners in January 1995 for prescribing or administering a drug or treatment that was non-therapeutic in nature or in a manner that it was administered or prescribed. He failed to practice medicine in an acceptable manner consistent with public health and welfare. He was assigned, for he was supervised for a year in that sense, in the sense he had to take continuing education classes in pharmacology and endocrinology. He could not prescribe or administer anything not approved by the FDA or the Texas FDA for his discipline. I would think that he shouldn't do it anyway. He had to appear before the board periodically. All his facilities where he had privileges were notified, and this was supposed to go on for a month, and when he did all everything he was supposed to do, then he would be off this disciplinary action. The year that he was off this action, he was involved in running an alternative medical clinic in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, which is an hour from me. And I found that it came out, it's so weird. The way I found out about it, I can't even begin to tell you how I found out about it. I went to the courthouse because I'd heard there was a lawsuit of some kind. I went to the courthouse in Haywood County, and I had court documents where he was suing some other people involved in this clinic. The clinic people got fighting. Oh, don't you love this? See, they're just like Christians. They fight, they sue. There was this court case going on, and he was one of the plaintiffs in this court case. Lee Cowden, MD, from Texas. And there was documentation in the records that he was on call during this procedure. He was doing it with a naturopathic physician who was not registered. We don't license him in North Carolina. Very, very weird stuff going on. The guy that helped fund the clinic was a guy named Burton Goldberg, who, if you've ever seen The Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine, it's a book about this big. It weighs about 10 pounds, and it's silver-covered. And if you've seen it, you'll know what it is. That's Burton Goldberg's book. Burton Goldberg is connected with him. So while he's on disciplinary action in Texas, and he's supposed to tell Texas when he's out of state practicing medicine, okay, so I reported him to Texas. They investigated, but because I wasn't a patient, it was like, you know, because I say, I don't matter, I don't count because I'm not a patient. I'm just saying, look, he was here doing this, and he's supposed to be there not doing this. And I think they investigated, and it took 6 or 8 or 9 months, and I think they didn't return any verdict on it. But there's an ethical problem for me here, a big one. Because they didn't know he was in North Carolina. When he left, he was supposed to tell them. He would travel back and forth. You know, he'd come and spend half a weekend, he'd go back and forth. He was in North Carolina practicing medicine. Then the other problem that I had with Larry, dear Larry, is that there was a clinic in McMinnville, Tennessee, that he claimed the person was just so nice and had this machine that he was treating cancer patients with because it would do something on the molecular level, and the guy actually that was doing this was doing it without charging any money. I found out that isn't true. And they were raided by the FDA, and Larry thinks this is terrible, that this man who was treating these people on this machine, that he'd lay them down and run them through this magnetic machine, was being raided by the FDA for doing this. And claimed that he wasn't collecting any money. I talked to a reporter in McMinnville, Tennessee, who was researching this, and I'm asking him questions. He's saying, the FDA won't talk to us about this. How do you know this? I said, well, it's in his book on page, you know. I said, it tells, just doesn't tell where it happened, but you're where it happened. So he says, you're kidding me. It's in this book. So anyway, in the book he says that federal charges were filed. Well, I checked with the courthouse in Chattanooga, and there were no federal charges filed. The FDA was still kind of figuring out what they're going to do, and they hadn't filed anything. So it's stories like that. And what that does is that sets up a distrust for us. It's the stories are creating, a distrust. These are, the black booted thugs that came in and stuff like that. So anyway, these are some of the issues. I mean, I'm not saying Larry's a bad guy, but you see how we get caught? We wind up in life-threatening situations, and we have lapses in judgment and clear thinking. We're not evaluating because we have a hunger to get our needs met, and we don't like reality. You guys are all from Colorado. Does anybody know about health quarters? You missed this one. Health quarters. We'll go. Health quarters is the cancer battle plan. Ann Frame or Fram and David Fram. He worked for NAV Press. She was in her 30s. You're nodding your head. You took my thunder away from me. I read this before. This lady has died. I'll tell you the story on hashtag. I read this before she died. It bothered me because it's a Christian thing, and it's recovering for beating cancer from a recovered hopeless case. This lady was in her 30s, I'm guessing, from the age of her children and her husband, and they wrote books on being married, and there are other books that this couple wrote. I had not heard of them. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, had double mastectomy, had chemo, had radiation, and they did a bone marrow transplant. I mean, she had the whole thing. But usually, you know, women who get cancer in their 30s, that's a different thing when you get cancer in your 50s and 60s. It's a different form. A lot of times it's got a hereditary component to it. Her blood counts did not go up. After they do bone marrow transplant, they leave you, you're in isolation, and they wait for your white cells to come back up again to a healthy level. Her count never came up where it was supposed to be. So they send her home after waiting for however long they wait. And they send you home, and basically they're saying, we're sorry, there's nothing more we can do. She went home, some people talked to her, and she wound up juicing. Okay, in 5 weeks, her blood count goes up, okay? So we have found the answer. What's interesting to me, there were no dates in here, so it was very hard for me to target when they wrote the book relative to her experience, her healing experience, or her recovery. Although if you read the book closely, there were things in here that indicated that she still was being monitored by somebody for her counts. So, you know, you're getting this, I'm as a nurse, I have a background in nursing, I'm getting this kind of double message here. But it bothered me because the things that she recommended were all the stuff that are out there in the alternative medicine, New Age thing, and including Bernard Jensen, who is the iridologist. And she mentioned his books on his on, you know, healing this and healing that and his dietary things and flushing. I mean, she was doing it all. She wasn't just focused on one of the alternative things. She did it all. And then they came out with this one, Reclaim Your Health, 50 Success Stories from People Who Are Fighting Things. And this was, you know, again, got other very questionable stuff in it. She died February of last year. Has it been a year? She died in February. A new edition of this came out in January. She died in February of 1999. My understanding is the reason that is being given, and I tried to call, I was going to call, and I scheduled them so crazy I haven't even gotten to a phone to call. But I went into the website. They had a website. David Fram kept their website. They started a ministry called Health Quarters where they would do sessions where they had people who were with illnesses would come and be trained. Okay, and they'd be trained how to do enemas and how to eat healthy, and they'd have iridology, and they'd have muscle testing, and they'd have all this stuff, and you'd pay either $2,000 to $3,000. It was fairly expensive, and they set up this health course. David Fram went to got a mail order degree in naturopathy, and used iridology and muscle testing. That was on the website. I went into the website last week to make a copy to bring to make an overhead. The website is gone. There's a blank, there's a parent directory, there's nothing in it. It's gone. And I was going to call and find out. And I asked somebody, I had a friend who lived in Colorado Springs, or a friend of a friend, and they're no longer there. Does anybody know what happened to him? I mean, he was running, even after she died, took a while to get the website cleaned off of her name, of, you know, what happened. And does not say on the website what happened. What I've been told they're saying is that they got into this thing that came out of a dentist who died in the 40s named Price on focal infection. His theory was that if you had root canal work, that you somehow got some kind of infection into your body that never went away and that you could die from it. And so that's kind of secondhand on why she died. But whatever it was, they weren't saying that she died because the cancer came back. And I would be pretty skeptical of that. That's right. And have any of you ever seen muscle testing? We'll get you out of here in the 10 minutes. Oh, for those of you, have you ever been to a chiropractor who's done the arm thing? Put your arm out and push it down, or they had you lay there, or fingers? Kinesiology. Yeah, it's another, let's see if this works. Now, this tape is sold by another company I'm going to try to cover before I go.
Can I have, is there another volunteer? Come on. Hi, man, come on up.
I may fast forward some of this as we go.
All right. Hold. We'll check the polarity the other way this time. Hand on top of the head, palm down. Hold. Now flip it over so the palm is up. Hold. Okay. Drop the arm. That's good. Check brain and central nervous system. Hold. Pituitary. Hold. Lymphatics. Hold. Medulla. Hold. By the way, you know, the order doesn't matter. I just tend to have a
standard. That's exactly it.
Thyroid.
A lot cheaper.
Blood,
alternative medicine is cheaper.
Thymus, lung, stomach. Okay, liver, gallbladder, pancreatic tail, ascending colon, transverse colon, descending colon, small intestine.
If her arm goes down, it means there's a problem in whatever he's touching.
Adrenal, kidney, adrenal. Now, the only thing that really tested weak, I noticed, was the stomach. I didn't. Nothing else seemed to really. Wait, so let's introduce another little
These are herbs, herbal formulas.
I want a little box of herbs.
They actually happen to be Nature Sunshine. It's a Mormon company with lots of evangelicals in it.
Typical things that,
I'm serious.
Stomach,
a lot of evangelicals
such as some food enzymes
involved in this.
For digestion.
Now watch, they're going to see.
I hammer hold those, and I touch the stomach point and hold. And it's
obviously the wrong one.
A little stronger, but not a whole lot. I would pick out another one. This is a Chinese formula for a weakened stomach condition. Okay? So I have to touch that and hold. And that's quite a bit stronger.
The idea is that there is an energy in the herbal medicine inside the bottle that what by holding it will alter her whole energy field that will strengthen her or weaken her. So this is one of the techniques that was being used at health quarters. And for Christians who get into alternative medicine or who go to chiropractors, some of them use it as standard things. How do you treat this? Well, we'll check. How do we treat it?
Some people will test all those things and they'll say, okay, here, take all these. Okay? But I'm going to have
but he's being good.
Them together and hold. And her system just can't handle that. Now,
see, your arm went down.
One of these three would work. Okay? What I want to do is I want to find out which one is best for her. So I'm going to have her hold this one and I'll say, this is the best one for you. Hold. And the body says, no. No. Have her hold this one and I say, this is the best one.
I don't have a pause button on here.
Hold.
A pause. There's no pause button. He says, I'm checking her, and the body says, and therein lies besides the fact this is a problem, therein lies a big problem. The way kinesiology works, this is not kinesiology like physical therapist study. This is applied kinesiology, muscle response testing, nutritional, there's a lot of variations on it. The idea is that there's an energy system in the body. It can be called the divine within, that's a problem for us, the body wisdom. I've heard a practitioner address the entity, and when they do this practice, the practitioner will talk to this whatever. You see what he's even doing. If you listen to what he's doing, he's talking. You think he's talking to us because he's making the video. But even in a normal situation, when they do it, the person will be saying something like, I'm checking Janice for acid. I'm checking Janice for this. And the first time I heard about this happening, it was with a girl in our church, lady in our church, and someone was describing what happened. I said, well, who is she talking to, the practitioner? If I take a blood pressure, I go and slap the blood pressure cuff on your arm, and I go, what's your name?
Helen,
I'm taking your blood pressure. You know, and I say, Helen, I'm taking your blood pressure. I don't say, I am taking Helen's blood pressure. You see the difference?
Yeah.
I'm talking to her. It's her blood pressure. I'm taking it. I'm taking your blood pressure. They are talking to the body. And when he says, the body says, that comes from the fact that there is something, the body has an innate intelligence which somehow is different than me. You know? You know, the whole joke, my body's telling me I need to go to bed. Well, this is the body, and the body is giving him this input. Not only that, not only on what he should do, what products, which one.
This one, and this is the best one for you, and hold. And the body says, no.
Is this the best one for you?
The body says that this Chinese formula for the stomach weakness is the one that it wants.
That it wants.
Okay? Now,
what happened to holism here? Body, mind, spirit, it's me?
What I'm doing is asking the brain,
now watch this.
Is this sufficient? Is this everything you need? Hold. And the body says, yes.
That's how you diagnose and prescribe using this system.
Now, I can also take with this, and I can check her on the quantity.
Now watch, this is what really puts people on the floor.
I use fingers for this because it's a little easier after you've been doing.
So this is another technique is to use fingers.
The arm up, break. So hold. Lock your fingers, hold. Let's try the next two. I'm looking for two that are strong. Hold. That's good. Check the polarity. Hold. Hold.
He's changing her negative and positive system in her body by waving his hand. That's the polarity comment. We'll change her. We'll check your polarity, and then he flips it whether she's not negative or positive.
Less than 10. Hold. Okay. Less than 15. Hold. Okay, so it's between 10 and 15. So we'll start at 11. Hold.
See, he's checking the number of tablets she should take.
13. Hold.
Yeah.
14.
Now you have to see what he does with this.
You must need a lot of that.
Boy, you need a lot of that. 15.
Okay. Okay, 5, 3 times a day. Hold. And the body says yes. Okay?
And the pills probably sell for $30 a bottle.
I usually say, well, for how long? For 1 week? For 2 weeks? For 3 weeks? For 4 weeks?
Now, does this remind you of anything that might be called divination? Now, you see what I mean? What is he doing? He's asking the body how long in the future she will have to take this medicine. You know, and we laugh. I laugh at this stuff. But I want you to think about what the message of that is. He is asking the body to tell how long. It's not like, okay, for antibiotics, you take them 10 days, you do this, that, and that, because studies are showing that people do, you know, whatever. I am asking the body in the future how long you will need to take this medicine. This was sold from a Christian organization who teaches and trains alternative practitioners. This guy, I don't know if he's a Mormon or what, or he looks like he's Amish or something, lives in Utah. I bought this from a Christian company. Okay? And so that was my thing. I need to do a couple more things and we need to go, but if, you know, I'm around. The tape's around. I want to take it over. My table's over there. We can go watch it while I clean up. See, that's my problem. Now, that's health cords. Do anybody know what iridology is? Do you know what this stuff is? You look in the iris of the eye, and every part of the iris of the eye, the real colored parts, is tied into a part of your body. And it starts, this is the head up here and the feet down here. And if there's any kind of, like if there's a mark, a little kind of funny mark that only they can read here in your right iris on the inside of it, there, that means there'd be a problem with your right scapula. Larry Burkett may have had a thing. And so when they look in your eye, they see where there are problems because they believe all the nerves in the body come up into your brain, down to your iris of your eye, and tell you where you have weaknesses. And then they can treat them using this and the herbs you need. Comes from an occult system, and the major practitioner that's promoted it, this guy Bernard Jensen. I've got on the table over there, there's a whole sheet on iridology, there's a whole sheet on muscle testing. Over, go up on the table, and they're up on the table, and it's the, you know which room it is in? It's way up on the far side. And I'm in the far corner. Okay, so these are the methods. We need to go. I just want to give you a clue about some other things. The place is the Trinity School of Natural Health and Healing. And they train a lot of these people. I find that they're, you know, I was looking for the chart on the muscle testing, but I tell you, I'll take it over. And if you get done and you want to come on by after our speaker at 2:30, come by, okay? Because I've got stuff. Let's pray before we go. I meant to pray to start with. Father, there is none like you who can touch us like we need to be touched. In our distress over some of the ways your family is being misinformed and mistreated, we pray that you give us wisdom and love and clear discernment. And we just ask that you bless the time that's been here and that you will use it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, see, I always have more good stuff. She's a nice lady, but she uses Bernard Jensen and all this wacko stuff and does fasting and cleansing and all this stuff. And then this is a really terrible book. I don't know who publishes it now. It's an older copy. And his big, you know, pork, I mean, it's just a fear-mongering book. You know, you eat pork and that's what gives you cancer. And, I mean, it's just, I've had people give this to people who had cancer. And it just paralyzed them. I mean, because there they were, you know, violating God's...
I had cancer 11 years ago, and it's like... I got a stack of books. I mean, it was, what's his name, Siegel. I got at least 3 copies of Siegel, but people would just bring me these books.
I bet you're an exceptional cancer patient, aren't you?
Oh, man. That was nice.
Yeah, his numbers were skewed.
I got a question.
Yeah.
My wife sends a lot of this. Excuse me, and I don't want to call
yeah.
it, but I call
yeah,
it
we
bullshit.
Know what it is. Yeah.
One of the things that she's gone to do lately is gone to a chiropractor who only deals with certain one little vertebrae in your neck, only, and it's.
I'm trying to think what it is. I've heard of it.
Craniofacial therapy.
No, it's an Atlas kind of thing. Yeah. They do it.
Your Atlas.
Yeah, well,
they for $25, my chiropractor was just rubbing these parts of my neck and then sending me home.
Oh well, it's the thing.
You come back.
Yeah.
And you come back and you come back and you come back and you come back.
Well, with chiropractor, that tends to be their style anyway.
This thing's forever and ever.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if you had any.
I'll have to check. I can find some stuff. Oh, you know, are you going to be here?
Tonal chiropractic. He also has this little activator tool.
Yeah, no. Those are illegal, but
I mean.
They're what? They're illegal?
Well, they don't do. They're a medical device. And I've got a picture of them. They sell them in here. You want to buy one? You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, this went to a chiropractor that
was... I mean, they don't know they're illegal. They use them.
What he was doing. And that's what happened.
Are you going to be around? Are you on the web at all?
No.
On the internet?
I have...
Access?
Email.
Yes. Email. Well, but you can't get into the internet.
Sure.
Oh, you can. One of the things I was going to do is there are some...
I was going to come up and see you up there. But
yeah. She won't like these websites.
She tapes on me. She's listening because I'm going to buy this tape. And if she gets this on tape, she's going to be mad. But
can you stop it?
Yeah. I wonder if I can rewind that. Well, you know, you can take the tape. And you can take the last section.
Okay.
Okay. You got a tape thing. Just don't give it to her till you listen to the end, and then just delete that section.